Hey, everybody. It's in the Charlie Kirk Show. The legend, Pastor John MacArthur, joins the program. He has been faithfully the pastor of Grace Community Church for 55 years, one of the most published and respected Christian communicators, thinkers, authors, and he's a true philosopher. What an amazing man. A godly man. I just look up to him so much, and I'm so honored to have him on this program for this very important conversation, The War on Children. Email me, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com, and subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast application and type in Charlie Kirk Show. Get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com, the most important organization in the country, tpusa.com. As always, you can email me, freedom@charliekirk.com. That is freedom@charliekirk.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com. They are counting on your surrender. If you give up, they win. But what if we look back and we realize we were just inches away from victory, and that's when we decided to give up?
Join us and thousands of American patriots for the summer convention that all are invited to.
You're going to hear how we're going to win in 2024.
With the biggest speakers in the movement, featuring President Donald J. Trump.
We're going to fight and we're going to win.
Charlie Kirk, Vivek Ramaswamy, Governor Kristi Noem, Dr. Ben Carson, Steve Bannon, Candace Owens, Laura Trump, Senator Rick Scott, Congressman Matt Gaetz, Benny Johnson, Jack Posobiec, and more. June 14th through 16th.
2024 is our final battle.
In Detroit, Michigan.
The great silent majority is rising like never before.
Join us for the People's Convention.
This is a new ball game, everybody. You send a message. We play to win.
Register now at tpaction.com/peoples.
Really exciting guest this hour, a man I truly admire, and it is fitting with all the news today as we talk about it. We're celebrating the birth of our son, John MacArthur, Pastor John MacArthur, pastor of Grace Community Church and author of the new book, The War on Children, a perfect topic for this hour. Pastor, welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you, Charlie. Great to be with you.
So tell us all about your new book, The War on Children.
Well, it's just been percolating in my heart for a number of years. The culture typically through history protects kids. That's just sort of a normal thing that healthy societies do. But there's been some dramatic shifting. Obviously, we know about that. You're very well aware of that. I mean, you're addressing it all the time. And now the attack is directed at children. It's not enough that they're sinners to start with. It's not enough that they inherit the sins of their fathers for three and four generations so that they have to live in the world at the corruption level that the predecessors have created. It's not enough that sin runs rampant and evil men get worse and worse. That in itself is the environment that they live in. But then the culture, in our case, has literally turned on the children. It's almost like, in ancient times, offering babies to Molech or burning them to Baal. The assault on children is just astounding at this particular point in our culture. And it shows up in a lot of ways. So that's what led me to do the book. And I saw that, you know, in a very defined way, and maybe not even the most deadly way, in what was done to kids during the COVID lockdowns.
Yeah, so Pastor, let's zero in on that. during COVID, we were told the worst thing that could possibly happen was that grandma would get COVID and die. Now, that's bad. We don't want that to happen. But we were told that we must shut down all of society and harm children and lock down schools because the older individuals in America mattered more than the younger. Where does that come from? That's the first time in American history where the older generation made conscious and deliberate political and economic decisions to make sure their grandkids have a worse life and that they could enjoy a couple more years. I don't understand. Where does that come from? It's almost, is it spiritually unclean? Please, Pastor.
Well, yes. I mean, it's an assault. There's no reason for it. There's no medical reason for that. Children are the least to be harmed. And COVID, you know, we realized that COVID wasn't anything like they said it was. The statistics were all fabricated. And of course, you remember, Charlie, we got into a battle with the state of California, the city of LA, and all that. So I don't know all of the specific reasons, but I do know that corruption in this society runs profoundly deep. I was saying the other day to someone, why are there so many television commercials for pharmaceuticals? Why is the dominant theme of television commercials built around drugs? Why is that? When you can't get those drugs except through a medical doctor. So why are they advertising all of these drugs to people watching television? And the only answer possible is this, because that way they silence the media. In other words, if the media are funded by Big Pharma, they're not going to criticize them. So I think that they have bought off the media. That's just one illustration of trying to get the truth through the machinations of these kinds of alliances is very difficult. And so what is behind all of this? Obviously, some ideologies and a whole lot of financial reasons.
Yeah, I think that I want your theological opinion here is that it is the wishes of the demonic, of Satan, to get rid of the children and to have a society that declares war and an assault on such children. And it is the role of the Christian to actually protect children. And you said it perfectly. You said child sacrifice was very widespread in the biblical era. It was the Old Testament scriptures, specifically the binding of Isaac, that stopped the idea of child sacrifice. It was widespread. It was embedded. It was nearly institutionalized in ancient civilizations. Can you speak to the cultural impact that Christianity has had over the last millennia, a couple millennia, where Christianity has been the greatest defender of children that mankind has ever known?
Well, that's absolutely true. I mean, it starts back in the Old Testament. It starts back with the Shema, that you're to know the one true God, the only true God, and to teach the truth about him to your children. And that's your responsibility when you lie down, when you stand up, when you walk in the way. In other words, getting the next generation to understand the truth about the true God is the primary responsibility of parents. So it becomes the primary responsibility within the culture of the family unit to pass righteousness on from one generation to the next. And if you do that, you remember the people of Israel were told they would be blessed. Sadly, unfortunately, after that initial generation, the next generation went astray. They were the ones that got into child sacrifice, Baal worship, Molech. Only took yes. one generation failing to teach righteousness to their children, and society completely collapsed in a horrible way. And as a result of that, paganism ran rampant, and the rest of the Old Testament tells the terrible story of what happened. So you come to the Christian era, and again, the family is the priority, loving husbands, loving wives, raising godly children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And as long as there was Christian influence in culture, which the West enjoyed over the last couple of hundred years, there was a priority on the safety and security of children. But as this society has become secularized, and even worse than that, you might even say Satanized, when they have abandoned God altogether, and when you abandon God, you don't end up in neutral, you end up in Satan's kingdom. It's either light or darkness, nothing in between. So I think as Christianity has been removed from the public square, as it has been attacked and assaulted because people don't want a God who tells them how to live and confronts their sin, children will become again the victim, and we're going to have the same kind of paganism that existed back in the Old Testament. And it's not any more refined. I mean, think about it, Charlie. I don't know how many babies were burned to Molech and Baal on an altar, but certainly nowhere near the number that are murdered in the womb.
No, that's right. A million a year, a million abortions a year right now in America, and well over 55 to 60 million abortions since the passing of Roe versus Wade. I want to keep on diving into this. It's the war on children, and it doesn't have to be this way. I think you've said it perfectly, Pastor, which is as America has become more satanic or secular, you could use either term, but they're not necessarily the same, but they're very close. One leads to the other. Then all of a sudden, why defend children? They're kind of a nuisance. They're an inconvenience. Like, just get rid of them. Just eliminate them. Is that if you do not have the transcendent belief that Christ is king and Christ is Lord, then all of a sudden your civilization starts to discard children. And that's exactly why Jesus had to be explicit in his teaching about protecting children. Not every civilization has gotten that right. I'm afraid where we're headed.
Hey there, investing feels overwhelming right now, doesn't it? So complicated, so many decisions. But leaving your money in the bank, not so great. It's losing value every single day. So if it's stressing you out and driving you nuts, invest with Noble Gold Investments. Their precious metals are simple and real. There isn't a company on the stock market that was around 2,000 years ago, but gold was. It's always been there through wars, disasters, and turmoil. Reliable, dependable, and authentic. That's why you can't go wrong with precious metals. They've always had your back. Noble Gold Investments, American-based experts will show you how to set and forget your IRA or 401k. You'll get a dedicated professional assigned to you. No hassle, no call centers. Colin Plume runs Noble Gold Investments. We've had him on the show before. He's awesome. I love hanging out with him. He's terrific. I can vouch for his integrity and for his knowledge about gold and silver. In fact, I have my silver right next to me right here. I buy all of my gold from Noble Gold Investments. I have vetted them top to bottom. In fact, I know a billionaire that just made a very big purchase of gold from Noble Gold Investments. So visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to claim your gold coin. This month, Noble Gold Investments is giving a free quarter ounce gold standard coin at each qualifying IRA investment. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com, NobleGoldInvestments.com.
So I want to just elaborate on this. The scriptures, can you point to parts of the scriptures where it shows that Satan's goal or the demonic wishes to come after children? Seems very clear to me. Can you give us the theological backing for that?
Yeah, you know, if you go back into the Old Testament, the children of Israel come into the promised land. They run into all these Canaanite tribes, and they're involved in child sacrifice. And if you follow the pattern in the book, the War on Children, I trace child sacrifice, its origins, it's the nations of the world that were involved in that. I mean, it goes all the way to Indian, like the Incas and other sort of ancient tribes of Indians who offered children as sacrificial offerings to their gods. So pagan religion has always participated in child sacrifice. That's the work of Satan. The marvelous thing about that is that I believe God rescues those children that are sacrificed. And I wrote a book on that, a book particularly on that subject, what happens to babies that die. because that, I think, is a rescue operation by God himself. So I think even with abortion, as horrendous as it is, and it's the contemporary form of child sacrifice to the God of self and the God of sin and the God of independence that dominates mental thinking these days among individuals who just want to live for their own enjoyment, their own pleasure. It's still the sacrifice of children for a God, only the God is the self, the one who makes the sacrifice. But in the end, God overturns that. And the title of the book I wrote is Safe in the Arms of God. And I think the Bible makes a case that God rescues those children who die. That is a huge, huge reality, since throughout human history, there has been such a mass slaughter of children. In this case, Satan meant it for evil, but God overturns it for good. And in that book, Safe in the Arms of God, I show how the Bible teaches that God does gather those little ones to himself.
You know, that is so comforting. And I think that there's a question a lot of people have, which is, what happens to the little babies that are aborted? I mean, do they go to eternal damnation? What you're saying is that, you know, God gathers them back into his presence. Is that correct, Pastor?
That's absolutely right. You, just for one illustration, Jesus was with his disciples. People were bringing little children to him, putting them in his arms. And he said, of such is the kingdom of heaven. These little ones belong to the kingdom of heaven. What our Lord was saying was, until a child reaches the age of accountability, at which point that child decides against faith in God or for faith in God, God holds them in their innocence as a part of his kingdom. And I think that's exactly what he meant. These belong to my kingdom. And that's why Jesus made the statement that before you would do harm to a little one, you'd be better off to have a millstone hanged around your neck and be drowned in the depth of the sea. That's pretty severe. You would be better off to die a horrendous death than to harm a little one. I mean, that's just general reality that the Lord established very clearly. So I think, and I want to say this because I don't want to be out of balance with this, terrible to kill children, but in the end, God will overrule and gather those little ones to himself.
I love that. And I think that is a great comfort, Pastor, for so many people that have had that unspeakable tragedy. And you think about the injustice there, but God has a heart for his children and the enemy does not. And I want to talk about some of the specifics here. The transgender craze in our country, the abortion craze, what's happening in government schools. I'm sure you talk about this in your book. Please dive into it.
Yeah, of course. That one of the ways in which children are being attacked, the most brutal imaginable way, is literally to take knives and carve them up. It's inconceivable, utterly inconceivable. It starts with, in some cases, the use of drugs that alter their physiology. And then we all know where that goes. It can lead to horrendous mutilation, cutting off breasts, cutting off genital parts. I mean, this is barbaric. Talk about satanic. There's nothing that's more barbaric than to carve up little children. It's one thing to do it in the womb, and that's what they do. That's what abortion does. It carves up and sucks out the bits and pieces of a child created in the image of God. But once the child is 12 years old or 13 years old, this culture is willing to carve the child up again for the insane lie of gender dysphoria. this, I think, is the insanity of Romans 1. In Romans 1, God says there's wrath, and the wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness. What does that wrath look like? It has three phases. Number one, he gave them up to sexual sin. So when God's wrath hits a culture, there will be a sexual revolution. And then it says he gave them up to homosexual sin. So you'll have a sexual revolution and a homosexual revolution to follow. That's all Romans 1. And the third step, he gave them up to a reprobate mind. What is that? A non-functioning brain. In other words, it becomes a kind of insanity. So when you look at a culture, a godless culture, and you see a sexual revolution followed by a homosexual revolution followed by insanity, you are watching the judgment of God. That's Romans 1. And the insanity, I used to wonder, what is the insanity? What's going to be worse than a sexual revolution, a homosexual revolution? What is the non-functioning mind? What is the insanity? Well, certainly the insanity is, if it's anything, it's thinking you're a girl when you're a man, thinking you're a man when you're a woman, and going to the extent where you literally carve up children under the illusion that they are the other sex. And this is not done in barns somewhere in the backwoods. This is done in the major hospital institutions of our nation. There's a huge hospital, probably the premier hospital in Los Angeles, which has the most extensive carving up of children of any hospital in this region. You would think at some point the Hippocratic Oath would step in and the insanity would be halted, but it isn't. So again, this is the war on children taken to the most barbaric pagan level. You can dismember them in the womb, or you can carve them up even when they're a teenage young person. And then, of course, as you know, you have to deal with the fact that they're now going to be at least 12 times more likely to commit suicide. And teenagers these days are more likely to commit suicide than any generation in American history. And there's some evidence that that has to do with their overexposure to the cell phone, internet, and all that that conveys to make their hearts and minds dissatisfied with who they are. So it compounds everything to an almost unbelievable level.
Yes, a study published just last month shows that those who underwent gender surgery had a suicide risk 12 times higher than those who did not, adding more data showing the dangers of the life-altering procedure. The book is War on Children. That is War on Children. Check it out. So, Pastor MacArthur, there is this war on children. How do we as Christians engage and try to fight back against these forces? I'll be very honest. You have been a hero on this in this regard, Pastor, and you were a hero and a leader during COVID. However, so many pastors seem indifferent towards this demonic assault on our children. How do we engage in this war?
Well, first of all, Charlie, you have to understand the truth. You know, when we were told to shut down the church, there was no way we were going to do that because the United States government is not the head of the church. Christ is the head of the church, and we know what our mandate is. And once it became apparent to us that they were lying about the death toll that was supposed to come from COVID, once we knew the statistics were not accurate, once we knew that the people who were in danger were the people who were old and had comorbidities, once we knew we weren't getting the truth, then we had to stand for the truth, and we opened the church. And when that happened, I remember on a given Sunday, we said, we're going to have all the children come back because children had been frustrated. They can't see their friends. They weren't going to school. They couldn't get together at after school events. I mean, they were all isolated in their homes. We all remember that. So we opened the church, and I think we had 1,000 kids that Sunday come back. And that just kicked open the whole of Grace Church. And what was so interesting to me was we knew this this COVID was not what they said it was. And that validated it, because once we began to meet, the health department began to examine us, try to track us and COVID cases and all of that. And they eventually had to post on the Los Angeles Health Department website that there was no COVID outbreak ever at Grace Community Church. They had to post that. And as most people know, we sued the state and the city, and we won in the courts. We were being sued to be shut down. We countersued so that we could stay open. So I think it all starts with getting the truth, and you got to realize that the culture is going to lie and deceive you. It's really difficult to get the truth about almost anything in this society, because there are forces that own the media. There are forces that own the politicians. There are forces that own the medical profession, the doctors. These forces are counter to the protection of children and families and the well-being of its citizens, and also certainly counter to Christianity and the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it starts there. You've got to be willing to take a stand against the lies. And then beyond that, you've got to go right back to the Bible, right back to the Word of God. And God gives us all that we need to know for raising children who will grow up to give honor and glory to Him. You can raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And most of the book, on the War on Children book, is on that. There's an opening section in which we talk about the problem. But the bulk of the book is the solution, what the Word of God gives us to instruct our children so that they can live godly lives in the face of an ungodly culture.
Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Did you know that 80% of adults take supplements to feel our best, right? Well, one thing your dog can't do without you is improve their diet or health to feel their best. That is why I believe Rough Greens could dramatically help your best friend by adding what is missing to their diet like you do. Rough Greens is helping thousands and thousands of dogs feel better and live longer, including my dog, Mr. Briggs, who loves it. Naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, who created Rough Greens, is also an airborne ranger and Green Beret, an amazing background. He loves dogs and is on a mission to help as many as he can. Dog food is dead, and Rough Greens supplements your dog's food with existing vitamins and minerals, omega oils, digestive enzymes, probiotics, and antioxidants. Dr. Black is offering you a free Jumpstart trial bag. So fetch your free Jumpstart trial bag. Just cover shipping. Don't change your dog's food. Just go to roughgreens.com/Kirk, RUFFgreens.com/Kirk.
In section two, part nine or chapter nine, you have a chapter here called The Attack on Women. I'm very fascinated by this. How are women under attack in the modern era, and what can we do about it?
Well, women are under attack, of course, by feminism. I mean, that's the primary assault that's been launched, and it's been rolling out for decades and decades and decades. Women basically being told that if they if they're keepers at home, lovers of their husband, submissive to their husbands, if they raise children and the home is their world, that they somehow are second class, they somehow have forfeited the opportunity to be what a woman can be. We saw that last week with the kicker for the Kansas City Chiefs giving a talk about women being homemakers and lovers of their husband and those who care for their children. And all horror broke loose against him. I think even the NFL took a stand against him for advocating what is the foundation of all human society, loving mothers raising their children to live righteous and useful lives. And partnering with their husbands for the dynamic impact on the world that strong families will have. So when feminism began to disintegrate the family, when it began to drive women away from their God-given high calling, the assault on women was full force. And you find some of those things in ancient paganism, some of those feministic aspects of culture. But it was an all-out assault on the family that really did it, taking women out of the role that God designed for them, shattering and splintering the family, so that what you get in the next generation, if you want to get an illustration of it, is you get what you saw in the riots at all the universities, the irresponsible, ignorant kids just creating havoc because they, I think, are the products of their inadequate parenting.
That is so well said. You also have another section here, the attack on men, which is talked about a little bit. How would you say men are under attack? You say feminism as well. What can we do about this, though, to rise up strong men? And do you think that there is a hyper-feminization problem in modern American Christianity?
Oh, there's no question. We've been talking about the feminization of the church, and certainly the feminization of men. Look, men are defined. It's almost impossible to say the word masculinity without adding an adjective, toxic, as if being a man is something poisonous to a society. I mean, that message has gotten across. Literally, men have been browbeaten and knocked down and made to feel like they are barely useful in any sense in the culture. They have been trampled on by women and by weak men. And the homosexual movement has added a component that has basically redefined manhood in a most unproductive and ungodly way. I mean, look, Satan has attacked men so that they don't desire to be strong fathers, attacked women so that they don't desire to be strong mothers, attacked children. It's just a wholesale assault on every part, every role that the family plays that is the building block of a sane society.
And the hyper-feminization of the American church has been a tragedy in recent years, especially. And so we talk about the solution, knowing the truth and then contesting for the truth. The solution has to be the church, though. And I want to kind of end how we started here, which is you talk about the slaughter of the innocents and the key battlefronts. And, you know, in chapter 4, which is, of course, in the book of Psalms, children are a gift from the Lord. The only solution here, though, is Christians and Christianity rising again and doing God's will here on earth. It's not going to be the secularists that are going to do this. It has to be Christian-driven. Pastor, can you kind of lay out the blueprint of what that might look like?
Yeah, well, Charlie, I mean, that is the real point. Until the church gets its act together, until the church is faithful to be the institution that trains husbands, wives, and children, until the church communicates from the scripture, from the word of God, the patterns for building godly, strong men, the patterns for building godly, strong women and strong families and the protection of children, until the church does its work. And what's wrong with the church is not just the feminization of the church, it's the worldliness of the church. It's the church, instead of confronting the corruption of the culture, it's the church courting the culture, trying to be like the culture, trying to be liked by the culture. The idea is if we can sound like them, dress like them, look like them, if we can pick up all the cultural idiosyncrasies that are hot at the given moment, you know, maybe we can get people to like Jesus if they like us. And so with that kind of soft, mealy-mouthed approach to the proclamation of the message of the gospel, the church forfeits its impact. What the church has to do is confront sin, confront all of these things with the scripture, boldly, with love, and call for gospel truth to prevail, for faith in the gospel, for trust in Christ, so that one can be transformed, become the temple of the Holy Spirit, and have the power to live a godly life and be a part of a godly family. The church has to get its strength back. It has to be against the world, not a part of the world. It can't just blend in to the world around it. That is a deadly strategy that not only doesn't win the world, it kills the church.
Yes.
So the church has to confront the world in love and truth.
Pastor, we have a couple questions here. One listener says, Charlie, love the show. I was wondering, I want to be a mother and to have a family, but I want to pursue my career first. Is this biblical? Thanks so much. So, Pastor, how would you respond to that? That's a common sentiment where young ladies, they delay having children and getting married for their career. What is your opinion on this?
Well, since you asked, I'm happy to answer. No, you got that backwards. What you want to do is, first of all, think about the opportunity to be a wife and mother. And if that gets protracted, pushed off because the Lord doesn't bring the right man along in your life, then you can kind of go through the career phase. But a woman's priority should be to be married, love her husband, raise godly children. I mean, the Bible says that a woman is saved through childbearing. It doesn't mean she's saved from eternal hell. It's not soul salvation. She's saved from the stigma that Eve bore by falling prey to Satan. She's saved from any thought of being second class. How? By raising godly children. This is the high calling for women. And that ought to be the priority. And you'll find that whatever you've been trained to do in terms of a career will become useful in the role you play as a wife and mother. And if the Lord doesn't bring the right man along, then you can always go down that path until the Lord does. But I think you've got to get the priority right.
Yeah, it seems as if the culture has it completely backwards. And unfortunately, the church has it backwards more times than not. So, Pastor, the final question we have here from one of our listeners is they say, Charlie, we've been married for 10 years. We can't have children. We want to adopt. How can we best engage against this war on children? What is your answer to that, Pastor?
Well, first of all, accept the fact that the Lord doesn't expect you to bear children if you can't do that. But adoption, that is a wonderful opportunity. One of the great doctrines of the New Testament is the doctrine of adoption, that everyone who comes to faith in Christ, God adopts as his own child. And that's an interesting thing because the scripture is clear that if you're a believer, you were born again into the family of God. So there's a real new birth. You are born again as a child of God. But in addition to that, you're adopted as a son, so that both of those are true of a believer. And I think that gives such honor to the process of adoption. You are born as a son of God, and you are adopted as a son of God. In other words, it's something that occurred naturally, supernaturally, but it's something that God designed particularly when he desired not only to give you life, but to adopt you as his son. So I think adoption is a great thing. I think it's a marvelous way to go. And then take on the responsibility of raising children according to the things of Scripture, and God will fill your life with boundless joy as you're faithful to do that.
Pastor, thank you for your leadership. 55 years you have been at the Grace Community Church. 55 years. It's amazing. Check out the book, The War on Children. That is The War on Children. Pastor, thank you so much.
My pleasure, Charlie. Wonderful to be with you.
Everybody, email us freedom@charliekirk.com. That's a legend right there. That is someone who has been faithful and has been a pastor for 5.5 decades. That's a big deal. Again, the amount of impressive publications he has is really remarkable. It's Pastor John MacArthur, Grace Community Church in California, one of the most important voices in the country that God has been using for quite some time. Grace to You Radio Ministry. He has so many books, it's hard to even pinpoint. One of the most listened to radio programs out there in the country. And he has really run the race super well. And it's really just heartwarming to see. And it's inspiration to all of us of what Pastor MacArthur has been able to do, be a faithful servant. And again, my big test is, what did you do during COVID? And he passed. Not passed, he led. And he was unbelievably courageous. So many of these guys just capitulated and collapsed. And he stood his ground. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.